Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and anything else we feel like. We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel. Welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. I'm hanging here in the bedroom tonight, and on the bed with me, two individuals, Pearl the dog, and Emily the wife. Emily, how are you? And they're currently making out.
No, she's making out with me. I think I would call that.
Yeah,
she's a lover dog.
We're gonna come back and talk with Emily about a couple different things, but first we're gonna get into a brand new interview that John Astronomy and I conducted with legendary, iconic, one of the godfathers of hip hop, DMC, Daryl McDaniels of Run DMC. And wow, what a great chat with him. Emily, now we've had him on numerous times, and I think both of the previous times it was an in-person interview, once here at our house. And then remember when we
went to the studio in Montclair?
Yeah, that real high-end studio.
Cool. We got to meet his son, who was so nice.
Yep, and he played us a song, or we watched him record a song that he was working on. And I asked him about that song, and it's coming soon, it sounds like. So we're going
to see him in action in the studio rapping. I just had chills. Like, my fur was standing on end, so to speak.
And what a great guy. But anyways, let's get into the interview right now. We're going to come back more and talk with Emily. Again, this interview recorded, a week and a half ago on our Talking Metal live stream, which we do every Friday evening, which we do live on John Astronomy's Facebook page. Now, it gets a little confusing because John Astronomy has literally three Facebook pages. So it's just the one that says John Astronomy, and he's maxed out on his friends at over 5,000. But you can still just go there and listen to it every Friday night. We do it. I don't know how much longer it'll go on, because I have to admit, this past Friday, I was freaking fried after working like a 50-hour week to sit there and have to do an interview. And it was just the other night. I didn't think the last one went all that well, but the one with Daryl was great. I loved the one with Michelangelo Badio. I thought that was great. So there's some of them are real fun. Other times I feel like they get a little off the rails, which I know some of you guys like that. But anyways, that's enough. Let's get into the Daryl McDaniels interview that I conducted along with John just about 10 days ago or so. This is to get us into the interview. Some great music by DMC. This is Lot Lizard, and this is by the Fragile Mortals project, which features Rob Dukes, ex-Exodus, along with Daryl McDaniels aka DMC of Run DMC. Here we go. Lot Lizard by Fragile Mortals.
I know it ain't my business, but she's someone's little sis. The life she is living, it is hard as it gets. She never gets a break, she always gets in lots of shit. She's just like a mama getting pimped by a pop. She spends all her time working out of all her truck stops. Cock-a-doodle-doo with a mouth full of cock. Her life really sucks, so the sucking never stops.
Yeah! What's going on, everybody? What's up, Mark?
How you doing? How's it going?
Hey, Daryl, this is John. He's going to be hanging here with us. We're going to talk some rock with you.
What's up, John?
Hey, Daryl, how are you?
How you doing? I like those guitars back there.
Thank you. If you ever need any Les Pauls, I got them. So if you're recording a project, you can take these.
Oh, yeah, you got an army out there.
So, Daryl, it's been a little while. Wanted to first just see how you're holding out, how you and the family are doing in this kind of strange time in our country's history. You're staying safe. Everything's good.
Yeah. I mean, the first 3 days for me was full of anxiety and fright and nervousness and being afraid and just wondering, oh, my God, the world is over. What does this mean? Am I ever going to work again? Will the world ever be normal again? And it was really, really scary the first 3 days for me. But then after the first 3 days, this peace came over me. And I found myself in the same position that I was when I was 15 years old, because you're stuck in the house. And I was one of those kids that was always in the house when I was younger.
Right.
So all you had was your imagination. You know, until I got like 16, 17, my mother was like, you have your ass in this house when them streetlights come on. Being in the house and then loving to be alone with myself. But I was always entertained because I had 70s rock radio. I had the 70s folk song or 60s and 70s folk song artists, and I had my comic books. And if it wasn't the black and white Hollywood horror flicks like Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, all of those Godzilla comic books, cartoons, Bugs Bunny. So I was all right in the house. So after the first 3 days of the beginning of the quarantine, I was like, yo, I could do this. You know, I started getting excited. I was able to think of new ideas for my comic book. I wrote about 50 songs, but not to write songs. Yeah, I wrote about 50 songs, not to write for the purpose of recording them later. I was just writing songs just to write the songs.
Right on.
So I was coming from that place of passion of just doing it because I love to do it. So after that, you know, you kind of adjust to it. The first couple of days, I couldn't understand why there was no toilet paper. Like, that was a big issue. But now things are starting to get back to normal and stuff. Family and friends is good. My wife's sister, although she caught the COVID, she had the virus and stuff like that. But she's doing better now. And,
okay, good.
You know,
good.
Everything is starting to settle down. You just got to play it safe and be cautious.
Yeah. Good to hear.
And creative as ever.
That's awesome cool. to hear, Daryl. And, you know, right before this whole thing hit, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was like back in January, we got to see you on the TV with your old friends Aerosmith at the Grammys, which you busted through a brick wall. And
yeah,
it was very cool. How was it reconnecting with those guys? I mean, I don't even know if I should say reconnecting, because I think you're always in touch with them, right?
Yeah. I stay in touch with Aerosmith all the time. He's Steve and Joe and the rest of the band, Brad, everything. We communicate. I caught their show. I caught their residency in Vegas and all of that, and was actually planning to go to some of the dates in Vegas with them until the COVID hit. But it was amazing because Aerosmith was already doing it. They was getting it was going to get an award for, you know, all this stuff that they do musically and them being legends and stuff like that. So Steve actually called me and was like, "Yo, D, we're doing the Grammys. Would you come?" So automatically, I'm like, "Yeah." Anytime I get to play with a live band, that's amazing. And it was just funny because I usually do a lot with them. And Steve would say, "I'm very happy you said yes, Steve, but I want the other guy too," which was fun.
Right.
So I had Steve is really close with my manager, Eric Blam. So I said, "Steve, talk to Eric. Eric will connect you to Run. Boom, bang. And once Run knows I'm doing it, he'll want to do it." So Steve called us personally and said, yo, please, please, you got to do this with us. And we did it. It was just weird because it was the day we did it was the day Kobe Bryant died.
That's right. Right. Yeah, that's right.
We woke up that morning, it's the Grammys, and it's going to be amazing. And on the way, you know, because you got to be there early, you got to be there like 11 in the morning. On the way is when the Kobe Bryant news hits. So it was very, it was a sad occasion in there because everybody was just so sad. You know, we in Kobe's house. You know, we in the Staples Center and stuff like that. But it turned out good, and it was really, really a lot of fun to be back out there.
Cool, cool. It was great seeing you on stage with those guys. And John?
So, Daryl, I know that you are good friends with Mark and the Striegel family, but I wanted to tell you that we have connected twice. And the last time was, I believe, in 2010, and it was at Carnegie Hall during an event called Redemption Song.
Oh, yes. Yes, at Carnegie. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. That was amazing because it was such a, it was just surreal for me to be in Carnegie Hall, like doing, you know what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah, so I remember that. Okay.
Yeah. Now I was,
John works with Ace, you know, the former kiss star player.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Ace Frehley.
Right. So we had, that was a great event. Joni Mitchell, Henry Rollins, Adler.
He was the moderator.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that day. Yeah,
that was a really great event, and I want to get more into that stuff as well. But then here's a crazier event that I might be a little embarrassed about. But
why?
Do you remember judging a talent contest at B.B. King's in Manhattan?
Yes, the New
for MTV.
York. Yes. What was it? It was
an MTV internal employee talent show, and Gilbert Gottfried was hosting.
Yes, I remember that morning. Yes, I remember that.
Yes, and I opened the show in a silver spacesuit with a helmet on, playing guitar.
Playing a guitar, yeah, I really. So that was you.
That was me.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I definitely remember that.
So you guys have had run-ins before.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
That's great. And Daryl, I wanted to ask you too because one of my favorite quarantine videos, you know, all these bands are doing quarantine videos, but was you getting together with members of Anthrax and Suicidal Tendencies
and Volbeat.
Can you talk a little bit about what you guys did? Because it's a very great
I mean, it was amazing because me and Charlie was on the same email feed or something like that. And then Charlie, he's so cool. He reaches out to the guy who sent the email out and says, you think it'd be cool if I could speak to DMC? And he was like, yeah, DMC's a lovely, easy guy to speak to. Reach out to him. So Charlie all humbly reaches out to me and says he was doing these live musical presentations, you know, virtually for the people. And he said he wanted to do one with me. And he just went into about how Rock Boxing King of Rock changed his life. Like, he was just like, yo, when I heard Rock Box, it was so cool what Joe was doing and this and that. And then the King of Rock came out. So he was like, yo, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind doing a medley of some of my favorite Run DMC songs. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to get Rob to perform. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, it's something that I've been doing. So he tells me exactly what he wanted to do. And then he sent me the tracks the way they did it. I went to the studio, laid my vocals, sent it back to him, and then we just picked a date and we did it. And the beautiful thing about the whole incident is that we did it for musicunites.org to you know, raise money to give instruments to children in different places and stuff like that.
That's great.
What was beautiful about it was we all know each other's music. So for them to take my songs and present it, the riffs, the drums, the bass line. It was so good. It's just crazy. It was so good. The fans are starting to ask, we know there's a new record coming with that. right now we're currently working on a brand new song featuring all of us that just saw
in
the Run DMC throwback, something brand new.
When you say brand new, not a cover, new original.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
Breaking news.
Yeah, it's one of those things when you get inspired to where people love to see a motley crew of dudes get together and do the songs they know. But Charlie was like, yo, this is so, why can't we do a new song for people to love 20 years from now? So that's the cool thing. And then once we said we did the song, we said, okay, now that we have a song that we did together and everybody saw us do this medley of the Run DMC stuff, the very next step is when things open up for all of us to get up on a stage and, you know, a few nights out of the upcoming year, whether it's 2021, you'll be able to see all of us together live.
And wow.
The kick
That's
will be,
cool.
You know what I'm saying? We'll do some Anthrax, we'll do some Suicidal, we'll do some Volbeat, do some Run DMC, and then we can close with the brand new song that we did. So this led to a new progression of, we got to get innovative. So if we coming together to creating a new way to still connect with the people, we starting to realize that, yo, now that we did it, we have something that we can do together whenever we show up, wherever. And that's the beauty of music.
That is amazing. So it sounds like we have a new super group on our hands.
Yeah, for sure. That's funny. Some of the comments from the people was like, yo, this is a badass super group. I want a new song. I want to see these guys. Y'all should make an album. Like, it's crazy.
Do you guys have a name picked out yet or not yet?
No, not yet. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're not thinking as far as Prophets of Rage yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But After doing it live a few times and doing a new song, maybe that'll lead to something more interesting and fun.
Right. Cool. Well,
yeah.
Sounds very exciting. I'd love to see you guys live. So let's hope that happens sooner than later.
Yeah, everybody's saying it.
It was back in the fall of, I guess, 2018 already. You invited myself and my wife, Emily, down to the studio over in Montclair.
Yes.
We hung out there with you, and I heard this amazing tune that really, to me, seemed like it was going old school DMC style to it. What's the status of that song?
Oh, well, the songs will all be coming out slowly, starting in probably November. I'm going to start dropping that song and a bunch of other songs. I have, I'm waiting to go in the studio with Dave Navarro. Shout out to my man, Dave. Yeah. Waiting to go. I'm about 85% finished with the DMC album, but the DMC is Dynamic Musical Collaborations.
Okay.
So that song will be on there. Definitely the song that I do with Charlie and the boys will be on there. I got a song with Sammy Hager.
Wow.
I got a song with Sammy Hager. I got a song with Joan Jett. I got a song with Tim Armstrong of Rancid. I got a song with me, Travis Barker, Sebastian Bach, and Mick Mars and Motley Crue together.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's crazy. I'm really taking this King of Rock thing seriously. Like, when I made the King of Rock in 85, I was just pretending to be the King of Rock.
Right.
Now I'm realizing, no, I could really get out here and be the King of Rock because most of my bands and stuff like that. So
it's amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to start dropping this new music starting in November.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
Definitely, you know, the main intent of making all this music is to get up on stage and do it in front of people. So as soon as we allowed to go back in venues in whichever shape, form, or fashion, I'll be able to get up, you know, I'll be able to, if Sammy's playing somewhere, I could just fly in, get up on stage with Sammy. Joan always calls me, yo, Daryl, I'm in Houston. Come on out and do the song. So the beautiful thing about this is all the songs that I'm collaborating with these artists, we can do these songs anytime, anywhere, And we're also, what we're going to do, once we complete the whole album, it's really impossible for us to go do a whole show. You know, there's a tour.
Like there's with everybody.
So once the album is completed, we'll probably, Tim Armstrong, he wants to direct it, but we'll probably go into like the Roxy or the Whiskey A Go Go on Sunset, and then we'll film a concert film styled like The Last Waltz.
Wow.
And we'll get up on stage and we'll do records people love. But, you know, if I get up there with Joan, she'll do her song, and then I'll do the song that I did with Joan, and vice versa. Sammy will get up, play his. So we want to make it into Tim Armstrong said, D, it's actually a reverse Last Waltz, because it's a new beginning for me. It's not my ending, it's my beginning. So we said, if we get a venue, fill it with some people, and then we could film it, and then the filming of the actual live performances of all the songs one after one will be something we could share with the public. That way, we could go on tour without going on tour. We're just seeing the video out everywhere. So
wow, Mark, that's something that I Mark and I would love to come to that when you guys get that together.
I'll give y'all invites. Y'all be there. Y'all give y'all the behind the scenes and everything.
That would be amazing.
Be all of us all in the building. You know what I'm saying?
That's so cool.
Behind the scenes, yeah.
I love the location. Both of those places on the Sunset Strip are great.
Yeah. That was Tim Armstrong's idea, because he said it serves no purpose. Just like, we could just make the album and put it out. He said, don't do that. So we don't want people going, yo, remember that album D did 5 years ago with all those people on them? We want to give it to the people. Tim said, this album is an experience, something people could live with forever. So it's not just about recording records and putting out. It's something people can remember. And it's a way to show the unity of what music does. You know what I'm saying? Right. For me, it's kind of like I don't remember what it was. There's footage of the Rolling Stones in London, and I believe they were watching Muddy Waters play.
Wow.
They were like kids. But the scary thing is when Muddy said, yo, Mick, yo, Keith, come up here and play with me.
Yeah.
And they was almost like, nah, I don't want to do that. But then they went up there, and it was just beautiful to see people that the Stones look up to invite them to play, and everybody's on one level. So that's kind of like what it is like for me, because you got to think about it. Most of all the people that I played with, or, you know, even being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, for me, it's not about getting the award. That's a huge accomplishment. But the winning accomplishment was just being considered worthy enough for induction. You know what I'm saying? Because think about it. We sampled, but we stole all the music of everybody in there to create this hip-hop thing.
But you guys made it your own. You made it your own, for sure.
Yeah, we made that. Exactly. So, but that's just the beauty of it. So there's a lot of good, fun stuff that also, I think, what this pandemic did for every, you know, movies, TV shows, books, and everything, I think it slowed everybody down for a minute and said, let's look at what's beautiful. You know, it's enough about seeing who's controversial, who's more famous, who's more rich, and, you know what I'm saying? The whole thing of being a celebrity. I think the pandemic abolished all of that, and people now can appreciate great, incredible works of art, whether it's music, poetry, photography, you know what I'm saying? And that's the beautiful thing about it. It's bringing us together, but it's not a new coming together, because we was always together anyway.
Hey, Daryl, so we are streaming live now, but we also will put this up on YouTube and in podcast form after the fact. But I just saw a good friend of both of ours jump into the stream. He's watching now, Mr. Rob Dukes.
Oh, my God. I got some stuff coming with Rob, too.
Wow. Exactly. Okay. Wow, yeah,
we got some news. a lot of breaking news. Yeah, wow.
So you did it, what I thought was a very overlooked record with Rob and Generation Kill, Fragile Mortals, which was great stuff. If anyone doesn't know that record, it's well worth seeking out. But you're saying now there's going to be new stuff on the way. Now, will that be under the Fragile Mortals name, or is this just with you and Rob? What are you working on with Rob?
Well, Well, I don't want to spoil it all right now, but it's okay. Something really big. We're gonna put some of those She Kill songs out because a lot of them are good. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them actually is talking about everything going on now. The politics, the police brutality. We did, speaking of the Stones, we did a wonderful remake of Heartbreaker by the Stones.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Police in New York City shooting a kid and stuff that. And then I come on with the verse. So we say, yo, we got to put that out. We're going to put out an EP. We want to take the three songs we love off the G Kill album the most. And then we're going to do a brand new song with a super, super dope surprise guest.
Okay.
Wow. That's already in the works.
Right. Okay. Wow. we are just one breaking news story after another.
Yeah, exactly. But see, hey, what's crazy? Y'all are getting the exclusive. Y'all are getting all the exclusives.
Wow. Great stuff. Hey,
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, Daryl, I recently watched this, I guess it was called The Beastie Boys Story on Netflix, which, of course, you famously, or maybe not so famously, I don't know if people know this, but I mean, you wrote songs for the Beastie Boys, like on the License for Ill record, Slow and Low. What was the other one, Daryl?
Paul Revere.
Paul Revere. Yeah. So, you know, and there are some pictures of you and stuff in the documentary. I felt like they should have mentioned you guys more personally, but the way Rick Rubin was portrayed in that, the great producer that you worked with, how do you think it was portrayed fairly in that documentary, assuming you've seen
it? I didn't see the documentary. But okay. I heard they talked about stuff that I didn't know. From a business standpoint and an artist production standpoint, for the BC, we didn't write for the BC Boys. I want to explain to the people out there because this will make them understand who the BC Boys are more. When we was working in Chungking House of Metal. We was a hip hop group working in a metal studio in New York City downtown, and in that studio was Slayer, Blondie, it was punk rockers and metal bands, and we was the only rap group in there. The Beastie Boys, which was a punk rock group at the band, Rick Rubin was their producer and their DJ. They had got into hip-hop. Right. But I guess they didn't have a way to break through. So Rick started hanging around our sessions, and he brought the Beasties in, and Rick asked Jam Master Jay, yo, you think these three white punk rock guys could make a hip-hop album? Right. Jam Master Jay, rest in peace, he was like, sure, why not? So they was thinking of a starting point, and we wasn't going to put Slow and Low on the album. We wasn't going to put Slow and Low on a Raising Hell album. So they was like, y'all don't want that record? And we was like, nah. So they was like, could we get it? And we was like, sure. So we gave it to Beasties. They gave it their touch. And that's the thing. That was the catalyst. Couple of months later, 4 or 5 months later, they had this whole phenomenal album called License to Ill. But when Rick Rubin was with us, Rick Rubin, he was the guy that would tell us, don't sample, get a real guitar player. Oh, don't do this, put this, I'll play that. Don't sample my Sharon. You know what I'm saying? So Rick was kind of like the George Martin to the Beatles for us. But in the documentary, people was telling me stuff about Rick and Russell that I never knew. Because when we was around with the Beasties, for us, it was always recording, touring. I didn't know personally what was going on with them. But overall, even to this day, the same way I met Rick and the Beasties back in 85 is the same way we are to each other today. I haven't seen the doc, but I guess I really got to see it because people say we're all in it.
Yeah, it's a good watch. I truly enjoyed it. It's done uniquely. They shoot it on stage in the King's Theater in Brooklyn. And
that's what I heard.
Yeah, it's really well done.
I heard when it first came out, they was doing something brilliantly. They would do talks. They would do like in stores, and they would get up on stage and tell all of these, you know, stuff about MCA and stuff like that. But yeah. I heard the doc is really, really, really good.
Well done. Spike Jones is the director.
Exactly.
And yeah, it's really well done. One thing they do say in there, it's funny, the Beasties are like, they talk about, you know, we're all talking about heavy metal and rock. They were like, we didn't like heavy metal. We didn't, you know, we didn't like hard rock. But then when they started hanging around Rick, they got the, yeah, actually maybe metal's kind of cool, because maybe Rick had this personality that anything that Rick did, he the way he broadcast it out to the world, he sold it to you.
No, 100%. I mean, even Rick's attitude toward hip-hop, Rick always loved hip-hop to sound like it sounded before it got recorded. So that's one of the things that made Run DMC and Rick gel with it. Rick didn't like the clean, you know, clear, pristine recording of records. He wanted the static in it. He wanted to sound like the New York City clubs, like Danceteria and The World and all of those.
Right. I remember Danceteria.
Remember Danceteria?
I used to live literally like 3 blocks away from Danceteria. And if something cool was happening, somebody would call me up and say, John, get over here.
Yeah, and you walk right there.
And I'd be right there in like 10 minutes. I'd be there, 5 minutes.
Yep, Danceteria, they should do a movie about Danceteria, because it was like hip-hop on one floor, rock on one floor, pop on one floor, and reggae on one floor. It was an amazing place.
It was a great club. I love that place, but...
Yeah, it's funny, because what you're saying is Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine and Prophets of Rage, he said when they worked with Rick, they would go into the studio and Rick would say, get rid of that $5,000 microphone, and he'd put in like a little $70 Radio Shack microphone.
Exactly.
We're using this, you know.
Exactly, because he didn't want the machinery driving the feel. He wanted the artists, the artists and the musicians that make the music feel the way it is. You know what I'm saying? So if I could make this song sound good on a shitty microphone, then we all good. You know what I'm saying? And I love that attitude. We don't need to be clean, and we don't need no auto-tune. And you know what I'm saying? We want it to be raw. And then we worry about what's going to sound good in the mix.
Nice.
So I know Rob Dukes is listening, so I'll give it away. We're doing a brand new song with Dave Ellefson.
Oh, wow. Cool. Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Talking metal.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
So you know how that's going to sound.
Yeah. We had him on the street here with us about a month or so, 2 months ago, right, John?
Yeah.
He was a great guy.
Great guy. So, yeah, we're going to do a song. And we're putting it on Dave. We're saying, Dave, you come up. We want it to be bassline heavy, metal, rock, guitars, rap, punk, classic rock, country, soul, rock thing.
Wow.
So, all right. So I had to give it away, because I was like, why not drop all the jewels on air?
Right. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for doing it on Talking Metal.
Another bit of breaking news.
Yes.
From DMC, Daryl McDaniel.
Shout out to Dave L. He raises
David Ellefson and Rob Dukes.
Yep, and Rob Dukes.
So Daryl, you mentioned comic books. So new stories, new editions, new issues on the way?
Yeah, DMC 3.5, which is an introduction to DMC number 4, which will be here soon. And we also, this is kind of cool, Playboy magazine. It's Playboy Online now. So it's not Playboy magazine. Now, when you say Playboy magazine, people think naked women. It's not that no more. It's more of a pop culture magazine where they talk about politics, fashion, music, automobile, merchandise. It's a lifestyle magazine. So over the last couple of years, every quarter they put a comic book in the actual Playboy magazine. So you got Hellboy, you got all these comic books. This next quarter for Playboy magazine online, they're going to have a special edition Daryl Makes Comics adventure in Playboy, which is really huge for us.
That is great.
Yeah. So
that's super cool.
That's coming simultaneously with DMC 3.5 getting ready for the release of DMC number 4. Now, 3.5, we wanted to have ready for San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, but none of that seems like it's not going to happen this year. So I've been doing the cons, most of San Diego, New York. Everybody's doing it virtually right now. You know, we're figuring out as we go along. But once we're able to start having gatherings and stuff like that, I'll definitely be on the scene next year with the Playboy Special Edition DMC Adventure, DMC 3.5, and the fourth graphic novel from the Daryl Makes Comics universe. And I got a song, like everybody was telling me, yo, D, you make music. You need to start putting music with your comic books. So right. I got a song coming with, I'll probably put it out with the 3.5 or the DMC number 4. It's called Bad Guy. Everybody wow. want to be the bad guy. They say the nice guy finishes last. Everybody want to be the bad guy, but don't you talk so fast. Everybody want to be the bad guy, but the bad guy case is sad. Everybody want to be the bad guy until the good guy kicks his ass.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we got that coming. So, you know, for me, it's weird because my whole life was always rock and roll, comic books, and hip hop. And now everything's going full circle. I guess that's yeah. all I could be for the rest of my existence.
Right. Well, that's not, that. Yeah. Those are three awesome
good
things.
Good place to be. Yeah, it's a great exactly. place to be.
For sure.
Yeah, well, Mark, I got to come over, Mark, because I missed those sandwiches, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I've never had sandwiches that good, man, really. And I'm like, wow.
What kind of sandwiches, Mark?
Yeah, well, Emily, my wife Emily, she went out when Daryl was here once and picked up sandwiches from the world famous Milburn Deli in Milburn, yes, New wow. Jersey.
Milburn Deli got it going on, man.
Yeah, and they are one of our favorite sandwich spots, and
yeah,
excellent,
really good. I never had a sandwich that good.
Well, as soon as we get through all this nonsense, hopefully we're almost through it. You're well, welcome to come back.
I'm definitely coming.
We'll hang out, and I always tell the story. I did an interview with you that day, and it was a long interview. It was like an hour long interview, and then we shut the mics off, and we got the sandwiches out, and then the real good stories came about Michael Jackson. And
oh, Monk. Yeah.
That's where we got even more stories. You know? So, yeah. So I always cherish the memory of having you here in our home, and I hope you will come back soon.
I definitely will. I'll never forget that. Experience was lovely.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. And as far as the best place to get in touch with you online, Daryl, where is that? I know you're on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter and I'm on Instagram. My Twitter is TheKingDMC on Twitter. And on Instagram, it's KingDMC.
Awesome. Cool. And I also wanted to give just a big shout out to my buddy who you worked with and did some amazing, again, hard rock, hip hop combo crossover thing. Jason from Slaves on Dope up in Montreal. Love that.
Jason
guy.
Rockman, Jay Rocks. And his name literally is who he is. Jason Rockman. He's the good people. Slaves on Dope is incredible. And, got something new coming with Slaves on Dope too.
Oh, another exclusive. Wow.
Yeah.
We just got about 25 exclusives.
I know. Yeah, Daryl, you are doing more than anyone I know combined musically right now.
No, I mean, it's crazy, but the beautiful thing about it is the people that I'm around, when we talk about music, it's almost like, you remember when you was a little kid and you would want to go over your best friend's house? And it's like, oh, can I play? Oh, I want to come. So, I want to come. Can I have one too? So we're like little kids with this. And it's right. amazing that we still have that desire, you know, just to create and have fun. And since we're having fun, we just want to share the fun with the people. So, yeah, Jay Rock is my man. He's like, yo, you know, we got to do another one.
Good.
Whatever you want to do. Exactly. Yeah.
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. So music with Slaves on Dope, music with Dukes coming out.
Yeah.
You got all this other amazing music you were telling us about, including the track I heard at the studio in Montclair, New Jersey, which was amazing. And
thank you.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you drop like a Metallica line in there about Lars or something in that song?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I pay homage to Slayer, Anthrax, and Metallica. Yeah.
All within the same nice. Song. So
for
yeah.
sure. Yep. Hell yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, Daryl, it's always an honor talking with somebody like you, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and the man behind Run DMC, such an amazing innovator, and you're still going today, nonstop. So thank you
definitely,
for that.
Definitely, rock will never die. Thanks, right. Mark. Daryl, I'll see you soon.
Yeah,
thank you, Daryl. Thank you again, man. Take it easy.
I'll see you at our next event, man.
I'll be there for sure.
After that thing in L.A.
For sure.
No doubt about it.
Yes, sir. I got y'all with that. Talking metal, baby.
Thanks, Daryl. All right.
Have a good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, DMC Daryl, DMC McDaniels.
What an amazing interview.
What's up with the hip-hop police? Can't find peace in the Middle East. Some punk rapper always has to be. What's going on with all the priests? Church should be ashamed about what they did. First PlayStation never touched the kids. This revelation is a prophecy. The only way out is you and me. We gotta stay awake, can't go to sleep. The promise of the kids I gotta keep. Life is rough enough on the street. I gotta make sure that we all can eat. Chuck said rappers like CNN. We keep tuning out instead of tuning in. And while we're sleeping, they're watching us. And instead of watching them, we're not waking up.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Send the Joker to the thief. It's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
It's easy for a D to be the all-time great. And I'll be the one they'll assassinate. I'm talking on the topic and I'm talking truth. Cause I know knowledge can save the youth. Here's how the dollars need to be used. We gotta choose to save the schools. Billionaires, millionaires, and trillionaires. We say that the money is never there. Tell me the truth, tell me you don't care. You profit off the music and the clothes are wearing. You're getting that money, yeah, that's so good. You ain't doing a damn thing for the hood. You ain't doing anything you know you should. You ain't doing anything you know you could. Be the holla dollar dollar and you got a lot of. But you don't know what hip hop means to man butter.
No reason to get excited.
Okay, right there, Watchtower by DMC. That comes off of his 2006 solo record, which is really hard to find, actually. It was called Checks, Thugs, and Rock and Roll. Last I checked, it is not up on Spotify or Apple Music. That was probably a few months ago I looked for it, but I have the physical CD, so I love that tune, man. And on that tune, joining him, Elliot Easton of The Cars, right? And Josh Todd. And Brad and Tom from Aerosmith. Wow, great, great stuff. I think it's Brad, or is it? Let me see. I got to check the book because I'm going off the top of my head. I want to make sure I give you the correct info here. Let's see. Actually, that was wrong. Not Brad and Tom. It is Tom on bass, Tom Hamilton, and Joey Kramer doing the drums there. So, man, DMC, he is tight with those Aerosmith guys. you always think of course, Steven and Joe being in the Walk This Way video. But here in 2006, he had Joey and Tom do that song with him, the Hendrix, Dylan kind of classic going there, Watchtower. Cool. All right. So I'm still hanging here with Emily. Emily, I want to talk to you, but I had this great guy who supports us on Patreon, David Gray. He's over in the UK. Can you give him a special shout out, please?
Yo, David.
and this guy's kid is so awesome. His name is Charlie, and it would mean the world to David if both of us gave a big shout out to Charlie, because I saw, and I'm going to share this with you, the most amazing video of Charlie, who's a kid, playing Fly By Night, the Rush classic, on the drums. And he sounds great. And Charlie, we really give you all the props in the world. We need the young kids like you to keep rock and roll alive. And man, you are well on your way. So great job on that, Charlie.
Keep it up, Charlie.
If I think about it, I will post it in the show notes on talkingrock.net, talkingmetal.com. No guarantees, but if I remember when I'm doing the web work, I will get that up. For you, Charlie. And if not, maybe I'll tweet it out or something. I'm going to try to remember to do that. But let's play a song for David, who supports us on Patreon. Really, right now, guys, the only requests I take are from the people on Patreon. So, David, this goes out to you over in the UK. You've been supporting me a long time, and I really appreciate it. This song is called You Are the Light, and it's by, I don't know how to pronounce this, Emily, Java Sikati. Take a look. J-A-V-Y. Is that how you'd say that?
I don't see it. Jiva Sakti.
Okay, there you go. I'm not even going to try that. Jiva Sakti? Okay, here we go. Jiva Sakti here on Talking Metal for David Gray. All right, cool. Emily, so before we go, I wanted to talk to you because we're still in the middle of this COVID thing. As John Astronomy says, it's COVID time again. And what's the deal? Because everything I've predicted on this thing, like when they first canceled the kids' school, I was like, they're going to be back in 2 weeks. Don't worry. And you were like, oh, no, they're not. And then yeah. You know, now I was like, well, they're going to be back before the year ends. And they didn't go back. And concerts are coming back in the fall. And I've been like wrong on everything. And you've been way more, what's the word, pessimistic? And
no, I call myself a realist.
Realist, okay.
I'm an optimist. Accurate. Yeah, I'm an optimist yeah. in my normal life. But with COVID-19, I've been a realist.
So there's yeah. been some experts in the concert field who have now predicted that, you know, it's not, the concerts aren't coming back in 2021 like they were. And I have to say, this week was a turning point for me because I started to be like, and maybe it was their influence, but just looking on what's going on with these explosions in different parts of the country, in Texas, Florida, and California getting hit hard, Arizona, I started to think, you know what? No one's going to be able to tour. I mean, it's so messed up out there. And even in 2021, if we don't have a vaccine, it's definitely not happening. And even if we do, I just don't think people are going to be running back to want to go to festivals and concerts and stuff. Thoughts on, because a lot of you guys don't know this, because I've seen people say, hey, post more pictures of Emily, or, you know, and talk about the way you look, which is always tremendously beautiful. I'm so fortunate. But you're also an awesome cook every night.
Oh, wow.
Through this whole quarantine, she's been cooking for the family almost every single night, and it always rocks. And you are in science. A lot of people might not know that about you. You're a rocker chick. You're beautiful, but you also work in science in the pharmaceutical world. Can you first explain just briefly about what you do and your background? And then I want you to really lay it on the line. Tell us your most educated guess, because that's all anybody can do at this point is guess as to where things may be going with this horrible COVID-19 BS.
Well, I get a lot of questions about my background. So I studied biology in college. My dad is a doctor, and I always thought that I would go into the medical field either as a physician or a veterinarian, because I'm animal obsessed, as most of you know. I ended up moving to New York City and started working for Pfizer in clinical research. And that's what I've spent my entire life doing. So a lot of people don't even know what a clinical trial is, but it's basically how we test a drug for safety and efficacy. It's basically how we test a drug for safety and efficacy prior to it being approved.
I don't know what that word means.
I'm sorry. Efficacy is, does it work? Does it work? Is it efficacious? Means does it work or does it not? And then if safety is another piece of it, right? Because it could work and it could not be safe, right? You could have a situation like that. So I manage clinical trials for a living. I've done this for 18 years now, and 10 years with right. Pfizer, and basically 8 years with Johnson & Johnson.
Okay.
And now J&J, and I've worked mostly in oncology, so cancer studies.
Right.
But recently I got a promotion. So now I manage the clinical study managers, the clinical trial managers, which is awesome to be a people manager and to be able to help. Yeah, I kind of miss being like in the trenches, but I am still in a way in the trenches, especially because I have a few of my reports that are working on the vaccine trials for J&J. So I'm there, you know, supporting them through that. And J&J's our phase one study, phase two study, phase three study. If you know anything about clinical research, the phase three study is this giant 100,000 patient study where we'll actually test it. Placebo controlled trial. I know none of this makes any sense to any of you guys, but, yeah, and hopefully we'll have a vaccine in early 2021, you know?
Yeah, but seriously, this whole Operation Warp Speed stuff, I mean, it just sounds retarded.
No, well, typically it takes 5 to 7 years to develop a vaccine. Right. That is,
so this
that is
Operation
the
Warp Speed that everyone, you know, Trump's thing, that's not happening. I mean, is that happening?
Well, what
it?
Do you mean? Yes, this is Operation Warp Speed because typically it takes 5 to 7 years to have a vaccine on the market. And we're going to be doing it.
He's saying by
in,
the fall.
No, the first trials, the big phase three trials will be starting in the fall. Ours will have first patient in September, probably, according to our CEO. I'm not giving away any kind of insider tips here, but I don't think we'll see a vaccine readily available to the public until early 2021. That's my prediction. Unless,
but even that, yeah. Seems like it's way early to me. Like, yeah, stuff's going to get delayed. It's like, I
think it's it all depends on how the trials go, right?
And are we all going to rush out to get this vaccine that we know it was rushed through?
Well,
I don't
want
to be the
no
first one to get that.
No one is compromising anything. So it's
I think
it's
I'd like
not...
to wait a month or two, see like what happens to if people get it.
Yeah, but we have the trials are large trials, 100,000 patients. So it's not a small number of patients. And you have the phase one, which is, you know, safety to make sure this is okay. And then the phase two, a little bigger, phase three, 100,000 patients. So you're going to have a large population that's taken the vaccine and we know whether or not it works and if it's safe or not. So okay. You have to trust in the clinical. This is what I've done for 18 years of my life. And we do the work that we do really well. And our number one priority is patient safety, period.
Okay. I got it. I just feel like everything we've been told about this thing from politicians and even from the news media has been inaccurate up until this point.
And by the way, J&J, it's zero profit.
Right.
Zero profit. Look at the statement from our CEO. We are not making any money off the vaccine. It's breaking even for emergency use. That's it.
Okay.
So it's not like we're racing to the finish line to make money.
So out of everyone I know, the person who has been the most accurate with their predictions on this thing has been you. And I don't want to put you on the spot now, but what are your thoughts? Obviously, there's numerous different routes that this whole thing can go. What do you have any gut feeling as to where this is headed? Are we going back to normal in 2021?
No, we're not. I mean, I
even say there is a vaccine in early 2021. Like you say, are we back to normal
in the
spring?
I've been tweeting since March and April. We're in this for the long haul, people. This is it. Like this is massive. This is going to be in the history books. Okay.
Yeah, already is.
Yeah. It's not going away anytime soon. The only things we can do now are that we know make a difference. Wearing masks and socially distancing. And the countries and states that are doing that are finding success. However, when you come out of that, and you're going to see an uptick. And I think we will see an uptick in cases in the fall. I think we'll see a second wave prior to the vaccine being readily available.
But the first wave still isn't gone. Like
correct.
So in New Jersey and New York, we've gone down, but it seems like, you know, they're saying the first wave hasn't ended.
It
has
not.
It's still going on in Texas where
it
it's like worse than ever.
Yes.
And Florida
correct.
Had some of the all-time high numbers coming out of the state of Florida.
My best friend had COVID.
Right.
In Dallas and her family. So it's not going away anytime soon. And unfortunately, the vaccine is not going to be the end-all be-all. And I think everyone's thinking, oh, when the vaccine's here, we're good. No, we're not. It might be similar to the flu vaccine where you might get it still, but at a lesser extent. And we still have to have treatments in place and we still have to have social distancing. And I'm sorry, mask wearing is going to be become commonplace for a while.
Very cool. And, you know, we do have the talking metal masks. I mean, it's not very cool. It's very horrible. But we do have the talking metal masks.
By the way, we've got masks.
And, yeah, it's $18. A great segue.
Wait, that's awful.
$18. You guys have been starting to post pictures of yourself with them. Tag me. I will throw them on my Instagram and Facebook page. I love seeing you guys sporting the masks, the T-shirts. And the masks are almost sold out. So I might have to contact my buddy Joe Ryan and get another order made. I'm always hesitant on these second orders, because this is what happened with the t-shirts. I sold like 50 of them, and then I'm like, I'm gonna order 100 of them now, and I order 100 more, and I sell like 10 of those, and then
I've
we have
got
90
three of
our,
them in my in my drawer.
90
I love
in
them.
Our basement right now, which, by the way, t-shirts $20, all available through my PayPal.
But you know what sold out? The sweatshirts.
The sweatshirts did sell out. Yeah, there
oh
were
my
the pullovers.
God.
I didn't have a lot of those made, but they were pullovers.
Did I get a sweatshirt? I did, didn't I?
I don't know. Grant has one. Which,
oh, I think
which
I was
probably,
sharing
yeah,
it with him.
Probably fits you, but those are completely gone. I do want to get like hoodie zipper sweatshirts. I'm actually working with a new guy who does like merch for Def Leppard, who may be working with us. I'm not working with him yet. I'm talking with him, who may help set up the Talking Metal store. So stay tuned for that. I think he's working with like Power Man 5000 too. So yeah, and that's it. We're gonna wrap it. This goes out to Leo in Alaska, another fine supporter of ours on Patreon. Leo, you sent me that new Boris tune, and I heard the new Boris album is out, but you can't find it anywhere. It's not on Apple Music. I don't do Spotify anymore, but I didn't see it on Amazon Music either. So I don't know where besides YouTube I'm supposed to listen to the Boris song. And Boris, Leo, I'll tell you, I have some of their stuff. I even used to have some Boris on cassette. I mean, that's how old Boris and how long Boris has been around. Does that sound right? I feel like I did like 18, 20 years ago, towards the end of the cassette era, if you will. But maybe it was a CD. I don't know. But anyways, now I'm thinking it probably was CD. But yeah, man, Boris, some of their stuff I just love. There's like catchy, poppy, sludgy stuff that I love. Others, it's just too extreme for me. It's like hard to get into. The one you sent me was pretty out there, Leo. But I was digging parts of it. But let's go back now, since I can't find any new Boris that I can legally purchase and play for you here on the podcast. Let's go back to some old Boris from 2011 to end today's show. This is Riot Sugar by the band Boris. Guys, stay safe. If you do want a Talking Metal mask, the best way to do that is to email me at mark@talkingmetal.com and we'll hook that up for you. Okay. They are $18. All right. Thanks. And here is Boris with Riot Sugar from 2011 to take us out on this episode of Talking Metal. Thank you, Emily.
Great to be here.